Peace and love. Peace and love.
Welcome to this neighborhood, neighbor.
My mom always said life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
You know what I am? I'm a housewife that figured it out.
Wow, 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 wow!
And now, here's the host of Good Things Radio, Brooke Taylor.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Good Things Radio. My name is Brooke Taylor. This is episode number 133. I'm so glad you took the time to check out today's show. Thank you for being here. And right out of the box, I would be remiss if I did not sincerely thank Krogan, Key Rogan. She left a review on iTunes, and it's been a while since we've had a new review, so I just wanted to say thank you. And she writes, of all the podcasts I listen to, GTR is my favorite. And she goes on to write wonderfully heart-boosting things, but I just wanted to share that little excerpt. And thank you again for your support.
And guess what? I love you. I love you. I love you.
On today's show, Father Nathan Cromley talking about the arid terrain of the desert. In this time of 40 days, what happens when we can't see anything? We feel like, yes, there is this oasis of faith, but then, it's a mirage. I thought God was there. I thought I felt his presence. Well, especially when we're so busy sometimes and unable to enter in like we would like, what can we do with that? I know for me, things have been so hectic. I've had this blog for over a decade, The Sacred Sink, Meeting the Divine in the Dirt and Grime, with the entire purpose that no matter where we are or how busy or how low or dark or stressed, God is there if we just open up that valve, that portal, and see him with new eyes. And everything that we're doing becomes a prayer. But man, we just, I think, constantly need to have that conditioning and to be reminded, okay, what does that look like? How can we do it, especially in this time of Lent? And I've been forgetful of some of my promises to fast and make certain sacrifices that I have hoped. And so Father Nathan is going to make beautiful blooms out of weeds with his insight, as he always does. And that's coming up at A Padre in Your Pocket. We'll get to that on this episode. And it is the 1 month countdown until the Arise Retreat. Are you ready to feel refreshed and revitalized to spend time on a weary women's weekend getaway and enkindle the fire of your relationship with God? That's what it's all about. Father Nathan, who is always so wise and wonderful, our retreat master. We have another full house this year, and it's getting close to the time. So for me, that's been a big thing on my mind, just prayers and preparation. It's Divine Mercy Weekend. So we're going to get to that a little bit. And a brand new Bible commentary. I'm guessing you haven't heard of this, but it might be worth your attention to stop and check it out. So we'll spill the beans on that too. It's all coming up.
It's Brooks House. Oh, it's Brooks House.
All right, well, come on in. We actually have no wreath on the door right now. We're in between. It's not time to get the spring wreath out. So the house is a little bare. The weekend was a little crazy. But the coffee's on, so come on in. And what happened this weekend was my son, Grant, who's in eighth grade, he made his confirmation retreat. So all of the kiddos, I think there were about 80 of them, left on Friday. I don't want to say kiddos. I mean, I guess they are to me, but like teens.
He's got the deep voice now.
They left on Friday evening and came back on Sunday afternoon. So it was a good portion of the entire weekend. My husband, Jim, was the chaperone. And from what I hear, it was a home run. The kids were good. The talks were on point. And the youth, the teens, they also received letters from their sponsors or those influential people in their life about the importance of living faith and also daring to do great things, as Father Nathan would always say, for the kingdom of God. And so that's top of mind too. So many kids, so many families in that mode right now, preparing for First Communion, preparing for confirmation, graduation. So this is now, I feel like, the transition where emotions begin to really get ramped up. And that was us this weekend, because not only was that going on one side, but my husband and I spoke at the Marriages of Grace event in Cleveland. And that was I could do an entire show on that, on preparing for that, some of the ups and downs, some of the spiritual battles that went in and went on with this whole whole time of getting ready for this talk and thinking, I don't know if we could do this. This year, this June, we will be married 18 years. And like anybody that's weathered a lot of stuff, there are ups and downs. And we have lived our vows in that time, from infertility to miscarriage to the death of a parent, my son having a stroke, receiving a diagnosis, you know, adoption, and then our daughter's diagnosis of autism and special needs. And so every couple, though, has their stories, right? You go through stuff and you learn things, but then feeling called to stand up and sharing that is intimidating. So it was a journey for us to really sit and pray. And in the end, I'm so glad that we did. My husband was so nervous. He is not the kind of onstage type personality. But because of his yes, I think it was extra good because he's such a relatable guy. And of course, I'm a little bit biased, but I really think in the way that he just so humbly does what he needs to do. He takes care of his family. He doesn't post about it all the time on social media and tell the world how good he is. He's just a very humble go-getter that sacrifices every day, is a very real living Saint Joseph. And that for me was even an opportunity to see that act as an act of holiness, the way that he sacrifices and gives. And because his spirituality is different than mine, but of course the Lord knows our heart, and we don't want to be like the Pharisee standing on the street corner and bragging about how good we are and doing all of these things on the outside if inside we're rotten. And that's what our Lord tells us in the book of Matthew, for you clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but the inside is full of robbery and self-indulgence. And so preparing for this talk really allowed me to see how again and again I'm reminded that the inside of my husband's heart is so deep and beautiful and far wider than I would ever know, because he isn't as outward and than I would know, because he's more quiet and humble about it. So there was a lot that went into it, but I think the talk was good. The couples were fantastic. About 200 husbands and wives, from newlyweds all the way married to 46 plus years. And it was a wonderful day. And I have to say hello to Sarah and her husband, who drove all the way from Indiana 5 hours to come to this Marriages of Grace conference, because she said she listens to the podcast. And so I tried, because we sat together at Mass, to refrain from giving her a giant bear hug or Olaf hug right there. I like warm hugs, but I just am still amazed and grateful. And it was kind of sweet to find out they have 3 kids. This was their anniversary weekend. So the talk was Saturday, the whole conference, day long, all the way to the evening. And they were going to spend the night and celebrate their next day for their anniversary. So just prayers and celebration. Didn't get a chance to say goodbye and give Sarah that big Olaf hug, but I'm doing that in my voice now. So thank you again to everybody who came out, and also especially to Sarah and her husband. And then after all of that, coming back on Sunday, we're doing our fast. So in the last podcast, mentioning in the last show that we are implementing this no screen, no device Sunday rule. And I'm telling you, it's amazing. Yesterday was a glorious day. The sun was actually out and it was freezing, but it was such a great quality family day. And it really made me sad how often I'm distracted by my device and I don't even realize it. And so it was a good thing for our family, but I really drank it up, I think, because the rest of my days are so busy. I'm in a season right now that for me, as I mentioned, is super intense, getting ready for a pilgrimage next month, getting ready for the retreat. We've had multiple speaking events over the weekends in the last few months. And so not being, and plus just everyday stuff with the kids. My daughter's IEP is coming up this week and all the different baseball seasons starting. So, you know, it's that constant hamster wheel. And I haven't, even though Lent has begun, stepping off on Ash Wednesday feeling like it was good, but then not having had a chance to really feel like I can drop anchor and allow my ship to peacefully be rooted in one place while I kind of enter into this beautiful sea of Lent. And so I just feel like I'm flying along and trying to hold it together. And again, going back to my blog, like how, okay, in this blur that is my days, how can I every breath breathe out grace and praise and make it holy and the sacrament of the present moment? And so what about those times that no matter what we do, we feel blind and deaf? We cannot hear or see God as much as we strain and struggle to feel his presence. Well, that's what Father Nathan is going to share with us today. It is part of the mystery of our journey, as he will share. So check it out. Here's Father Nathan Cromley with a brand new Padre in Your Pocket.
Padre in your pocket. On good things, great deal.
Hello, everybody. This is Father Nathan with another Padre in Your Pocket. This time, a Lenten edition. Lent is a time where the church lives in 40 days, a sharing in the mystery of Christ's 40 days of temptation in the desert. And this temptation in the desert was, of course, prefigured by Israel's 40 years of wandering from freedom, from slavery, all the way until its entrance in the promised land. And as such, it's really an amazing symbol of this journey of our entire life. We're in baptism, like Israel crossing the Red Sea. We went through the waters that put to death the powers of sin, all the way until Canaan, when, of course, we enter into heaven and our union with God. And so this time of 40 years in the desert shows us well, in symbolic way, what our entire lives are, a journey from baptism into heaven that is marked by trials, by difficulties, by challenge. And then when we see our Lord in the desert, of course, living this 40 days of tempting, we can understand this in the same way as our sharing in what he went through. So what are we to do? First thing to do in a Lent, especially if you experience dryness, desolation, difficulty, challenge, is to accept it. And I mean that. Because sometimes we think that the problem is the desolation, or the problem is the dryness. No, that's not it at all. If we're living a path of truth and we're living a life that's the way we should be, then the fact that it's difficult, that's not a problem. The fact that it's difficult actually is probably a good sign, because it means we're doing something that's good. And sometimes that difficulty is even God's gift to us, because it augments in us both merit by making it even more beautiful that we do our faith fidelity to him, and also by purification, so that all the selfishness and the imperfection of our actions can actually be purified by the fact that we're doing this out of love alone. And so in any case, Lent gives us this perspective that no matter what happens, what I need to do is to do what is right and what is true. And I become tougher in a good sense, more able to be faithful to what God's asked me to do. I wish you all the best, a holy Lent. I wish you a tough Lent. I think it's a good thing. And I look forward with you to celebrating Easter. God bless you.
John 3:21. But whoever lives the truth comes to the light, so that his works may be clearly seen as done in God. Thank you again so much, Father Nathan. I thought of that scripture in listening to your words. That's the gospel for this Sunday coming up, to keep striving, to keep going, and that we are stronger than we think. So thank you again, Father Nathan, our padre, priest, and coach. We need that. God bless you. If you've been feeling down, I recently ran across this article. I am not going to read all 70. They were something like 70 ways to get instantly happy. And so much of it, I mean, whether it's fitness or faith or happiness, we know it's just living it out and remembering. And so I don't want to go through all of them. But the funny thing is, I think even the act of smiling does something. Melody Lyons in the last episode talked a little bit about what happens to us physically when we yell. That when we shout or get angry, it affects everything from the levels of stress in our body to problem solving. It clouds our rational thought. Isn't that interesting? When we yell, it clouds our rational thought. And it's this domino effect that then triggers the adrenal gland and those stress hormones, and Melody Lyons talked about that last week. Well, then on the flip side, when we smile, it relaxes your body. It can lower your blood pressure and your heart rate. Pope Francis talks about this. It's something that I go back to over and over because I see it in my daughter. And that is the therapy of a smile. And it might look weird if you're smiling while you're mad, but it might also do something in that moment that would help diffuse it as well. So maybe try that. Some of the things, again, the article lists include declutter your life. And I just felt tired when I read that. I was like, oh, I need to take a nap because it's right now, definitely at that overwhelming stage. But I get it. Put on your favorite feel-good movie or song, I would add. I love having a little spontaneous dance party. And that's been interesting because I've done it since my youngest, who's 16 and a half, was a baby. And you get to a point where you realize, I can't really dance and pick the kids up anymore. But even dancing with them at different stages, I think is a beautiful thing to see. A friend of mine who was sharing with me that a friend she knows lost her husband said that was one of the last things that they did was they danced in the kitchen. It was an unexpected death, and it was something they never danced in the kitchen that she held on to so much. So those little things, I think, can be a blessing. Volunteer for a cause close to your heart. Put your favorite scripture or that boost of a Bible passage that helps your heart every time and put it in your planner or somewhere you're going to see it to boost your spirit. Unleash your inner Bob Ross. We did that. It was really cute. My son fell asleep watching Bob Ross the other day because he's so soothing. And I thought, this is what we need to do to wind down in addition to our prayer time. But because it was so nice, we went out and I said, you know, we could get a little easel and in the summer, go in different places of the yard and draw. Because of course, every time you're in a different angle, you see things differently. The trees, a branch might come down here. And if you move to the north, it might be a different view. So, you know, those little things that help us stop and embrace with our eyes the beauty of creation. And like in a dozen different ways in this article, they in some form or fashion pretty much wrote the words cut out technology, from stop looking at social media so much to cut your TV viewing time in half. And then finally, one of the things was invest in experiences, not things. And we've talked about this before. It's healing and healthy to have something to look forward to. And they actually broke down four stages for enjoying a happy event. The first thing is anticipation, looking forward to it, planning, dreaming. Like, we all need something to look forward to it. And that's why the ultimate hope, the ultimate paradise is our heavenly home, is eternity. And in those short terms, we get tastes of heaven. So having something to look forward to and to dream, to savoring it, enjoying it in the moment. Expression, then, that's the third. Sharing your pleasure with others to heighten your experience. And then finally, reflection, looking back on happy times. And that's one of the things we talk about with our pilgrimages, that not a day, not a week goes by, and in some way, we don't relive that memory. And what a blessing that is. But anticipation is key. If you're bedridden, to have, okay, my friend is going to come over and visit me, something on the calendar to look forward to. And that's a beautiful thing. And one of the big things for us is our retreat.
Arise, shine, the glory of the Lord is risen. Arise, shine, the glory of the Lord is risen. Arise, shine, the glory of the Lord.
Listen to that all day. So that is the voice of Taylor Tripodi. She will be joining us as our praise and worship leader for the Arise Retreat, along with Father Nathan Cromley, my friend Linda Isaiah, psychologist Dr. Angela Miller, our Arise team, and many, many heavenly graces, beautiful things we have planned, and of course, the things that we don't know that the Lord will do. As we gather for this Weary Women's Weekend, Divine Mercy Weekend, and it's about a month away, April 5th through the 8th at Loyola Retreat House in Clinton, Ohio. And I also just received word that Walsh University, our retreat sponsor, is going to be providing every woman with a beautiful Divine Mercy pillar candle. And it's really, just to say that sounds kind of weird. Like, oh, okay, well, how am I going to get this back in my suitcase? Or I guess they're giving me a big candle. But no, it has significance and will be, it's a beautiful gift. And so it's really for a special holy hour that we're doing only by candlelight. And our retreatants, of course, will be the living lights. But just excited. I mean, that's just one thing. We've also teamed up with the ministry. I think I'm going to wait before I spill the beans, but I'll just say that part of their proceeds go to an anti-human trafficking organization. So that for us is really exciting, that not only are we supporting this extraordinary ministry that has amazing, beautiful things that the ladies are going to be blessed by that come to the retreat, but the cause is so good. And they're giving all of our retreatants a special discount, all of those who attend Arise. So, you know, I mean, it's exciting little things like that sprinkled in that you just can't plan for ahead of time. And so we are praying. We thank you all who are coming for filling the retreat house once again with your heartbeat, for your prayers. And for those who cannot go, we would love to enfold you in our prayers as well, because we are a community. And that's where the retreat was born from, was this podcast, the listeners, and coming together to meet in person. So shoot me an email if you have a prayer request. It's feedback@goodthingsradio.com. Also, you can always catch me on Voxer, Brooke Taylor in the number one. And your prayers are also so greatly appreciated for our event as well.
Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy.
So a few episodes ago, I talked about a new Barna survey that came out calling this generation of teens the least Christian generation in American history, and for a myriad of different reasons. But one of them talked about trusting in science more than in faith, thinking that somehow the two are mutually exclusive and not complementary and affirm one another. Why do so many people think the Bible, the most influential book in world history, is outdated? Why do our friends and neighbors dismiss the Bible as irrelevant, irrational? All of these are great questions. And I recently had lunch with my old former morning show co-host, Len Hauser, when I worked at the Fish in Cleveland. But one of the topics was this exact thing. What is happening in our culture? What is happening with the belief system and the debasing of biblical scripture? He's Protestant, evangelical, I'm Catholic. But these are areas that we can come together and unite in solidarity in. And he recommended something that I want to share with you. And I'm saying this with the total disclaimer that I have not completely vetted and researched. It's not even out yet, so I don't know. But I really, I think that it would merit at least a look. It's by Dennis Prager. He is a nationally syndicated radio host. He was raised as an Orthodox Jew, and he brings this project. He has a brand new Bible commentary that he calls possibly the greatest work of his life. And so bringing a Jewish perspective to the biblical commentary, particularly in the book of Exodus. And I want to read, and it's not out yet. You can get it on pre-order, which is what I did. But I want to read a little bit about the description and what he has to say. This explanation of the book of Exodus, the second book of the Bible, will demonstrate that the Bible is not only powerfully relevant to today's issues, but completely consistent with rational thought. Do you struggle to love your parents? If you do, you need this book. Do you doubt the existence of God because belief in God is irrational? This book will give you reason after reason to rethink your doubts. The title of this commentary is The Rational Bible because its approach is entirely reason-based. The reader is never asked to accept anything on faith alone. As Prager says, if something I write does not make rational sense, I've not done my job. The Rational Bible is fruit of Dennis Prager's 40 years of teaching the Bible of people of every faith and no faith. On virtually every page, you will discover how the text relates to the contemporary world and to your life. His goal, to change your mind and then to change your life. So I am already sold on that, and I did pre-order it. And I want to consult Father Nathan. I want to consult my spiritual director and say, what do you think? Is this okay? But I really do think that this is his passion. He loves teaching the Torah, the five books of Moses. And so then to go into Exodus and know that for a time such as this, and going back to the crisis of faith that we're in, I think this could be a powerful thing. He on his own has said this is quite possibly the most important work he has done in his life. and it will be out on April 2nd. Again, it's called The Rational Bible, Dennis Prager. It's P-R-A-G-E-R. And so it's Exodus, God, Slavery, and Freedom, The Rational Bible. And speaking of that, I was just reading a little bit about the life of St. John of the Cross and how the biggest passion of his life was to read the Bible. He knew the Bible by heart. It is all that he desired to read. And I think in an age where we are flooded with so many and amazing at that, great books and writing, really all of the manuscripts of history are at our fingertips. It's really easy to be distracted. And I thought, you know, I love that beautiful simplicity. I need to get back to basics. We've been reading the book of Acts and loving it as a family during our landing time. And so for me, it's kind of the keep it simple, stupid approach. I need to do that. So it's Brooke and Bible the rest of my Lenten journey. That is my hope. And God bless you as you continue on your way and are getting toughening up, as Father Nathan says, walking in the journey these 40 days. God bless you and keep you. Thank you. Thank you so much for being a part of episode number 133. Coming up on the next episode, you do not want to miss our special guest, Rebecca Dussault. She, a former Olympian, speaker, trainer, wife, mother. She's known as Fit Catholic Mom and is a wellness coach. And so, man, a wealth of knowledge and inspiration. She will join us on the next program. Just a quick invitation, if you haven't yet, would love for you to leave a review just like Krogan or Key Rogan did. Thank you. Thank you so much for your support, and especially our GTR good friends. You can become a Podbean patron, and we thank you to our wonderful supporters every month who faithfully buoy up this program. And you can do that by giving $1 a month, $20 a month. No amount is too small. No amount is too large. And we are grateful and pray for you daily. Also, a big thank you to my producer for his dynamic skills and quick work. Mark Cumming is a producer extraordinaire. And for any audio production needs that you might have, you can check him out at cumminghomestudio.com. May the Lord bless and keep you. Until next time, friends, peace and love.